My name is Ed Wilmington, and I am the director of the Fred Bach Institute of Music of the Brehm Center for Worship, Theology, and the Arts at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studio's audio stream of sermons drawn from campus chapels and preachers throughout our extended community.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah 41 in the NRSV. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak, and let us together draw near for judgment. Who has roused a victor from the east, summoning him to his service? He delivers up nations to him and tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely, scarcely touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am first and will be with the last. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble, they have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, take courage. The artisan encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. And they fasten it with nails so that it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. The word of the Lord.
I pray that God would be with us as we worship together today. Our passage in Isaiah 41 comes after another well-read passage in Isaiah 40 that paints a picture of comforting a torn community. The prophet assures the community, saying, "Your God is the everlasting God. If you wait on God, God will renew your strength. You have heard this from the beginning. Your God is forever." Isaiah continues by attending also to the circumstances in which people had fear and doubt about God's presence and about God's ability to help. It is understandable that one is afraid and apprehensive when one's world is turned upside down, and the chaos and destruction of war breeds insecurities about the present and future. It is certainly recognizable that people are afraid when their beliefs about God do not appear to be confirmed by God's actions on their behalf, when other people seem to be doing better than those who trust God, when one's enemies seem to win, evil seems to prevail, and God appears to be silent and just absent. The chatter of doubt and fear questions everything. The fear is contagious, as is doubt and commotion. And into this deafening chatter and commotion, the voice of God resounds. Be silent. Do not be afraid. The passage before us is both disturbing and comforting. It reveals a God who is in control of the world, the very earth on which we live. In this commotion, with everything joining in the fear, the earth trembles. The nations are in turmoil. God knows about them. And for those who want the turmoil to be fixed, it is a disturbing picture because God does not step in to fix it. Rather, God claims to have orchestrated the turmoil. Isaiah 41, 6 to 7 also talk about the ways people are comforting each other. Persons in similar professions encourage each other in their work. It is natural because they know the circumstances from similar vantage points. These are all persons who work with their hands. These are persons whose work contribute to a war and religious economy. They are used to looking to the product of their hands as a means of success and security. They are used to being able to offer quick and tangible solutions and tools. So they attempt to comfort and reassure each other about the sturdiness of their work, the quality of the work that they have created. The passage also reflects another part of the circumstances, the other ways of coping with being afraid. The artists are used to providing solutions to others. Among those solutions, they provide idols as symbols of a divine presence, a quick and tangible God presence. But God challenges the community to know that there is none like God. The God who comforts is not made by hands. The God who comforts has the power to do whatever God chooses to do. And it is at this point that I want to join in the passage in Isaiah 41. We could look at all the times the language of fear occurs, but more fruitful for us is the heart of the matter. What do you do when you're afraid and have every reason to be afraid? What do you do with the fears about circumstances over which you have little or no control? Or what do you do when all remedies, self-help, have not erased the fears, or when the words of people who share your experience are of no comfort to you? Or your very belief about God is challenged by circumstances? What do you do? We, like the ancient community, are faced with daunting circumstances. Nations at war, government incapacitated, privileged faith that does little to erase our private pains and fears. Our text today is about fear, but just as important, it is about coping with fear. It is human to be afraid, especially when faced with uncertainties about things that are not going the way we planned. Again, like the ancient community, your beliefs are challenged. The community had gotten a false sense of security, born out of their belief that God's presence belonged only to them. They had fallen victim to the idea and lost sight of God. And they had succumbed to the discouragement and despair of seeing others triumph at their expense. This would have been a people who had lost homes, lost the security of a predictable faith, a faith in which nothing bad or challenging happens. But it is precisely the loss of a privileged faith that leads to fear and the need to cope with that fear. One way that we cope with fear is we join others who have similar circumstances. Like comforts like in moments of fears, using what we know, relying on our tools, skills, and experiences. Like comforts like intellectual tools, psychological tools, manipulation, public mask to hide our fears. Some of these may work for a moment, but the way we choose to cope with our fears reveals our thoughts about the source of our strength, the source of our help. How many of you have ever resisted help because you thought that you can do it yourself? I love the tenacity of children who are learning to walk, learning to talk, learning basic life skills. At some time, those children will declare in action or in words, I could do it myself. Today, we are talking about fears for which we are not able to do it ourselves. This brings us to another way we cope with fear. We go on detours. You know, detours? Some detours are deliberate, others are not. Detours usually are ways of avoiding a known path or a path made challenging by obstacles. That is the things that make us afraid. We intellectualize. We try to control others because we cannot control our circumstances. We try to help God out with our solutions. We put our trust in people, expecting from them what we should expect from God. We trust in what we made with our hands, with our work. All of these are detours that still leave us afraid, masking. On the detour, fear is with us. Fear helps us to decide our path, leading us the long way around, or tempting us with shortcuts, which are just mini detours added to mini detours, but giving the impression that we are progressing on our journey. Hollow solutions to deep issues. In our text, we see at least one detour. It is the tendency for us to make our solutions the source of our help. All the objects, the tactics, or even the substances we use to give us a sense of comfort. But there is yet another way, a way that acknowledges our fears, the reality of being afraid, knowing that there are reasons to fear, that there are things within us that respond legitimately to threats, to our safety, to our way of life, to our beliefs. There is another way of addressing our fears, namely reliance on God. This is not a cop-out, a way of burying our heads in the sand or closing our eyes, pretending that everything is okay. The reality is that there are circumstances that no amount of pretense can cover. If we are in any of those, we know the reality of being afraid. What I'm about to say highlights a way of coping with the detours. The way is relying on God. This is about the relationship with God and faith in God. This way involves understanding who we are and whose we are. God called the ancient community by name and made clear, I am talking to you. I know you. I have chosen you. And there I say that God calls us by name, fuller community, each one of us by name, and assures us that God knows and participates in our story. We are God's people and ought to know the importance of the relationship with God. But being afraid has a way of blinding or distorting our beliefs and faith. We are in relationship with God, who is able to do what God has promised, able to do above what we may ask or imagine. Basically, able to hold all matters, huge, tiny, able and willing to orchestrate them according to God's will. We are being offered comfort by God. The character of the one offering the comfort is what determines the quality of the comfort. How many of us would be comforted by someone who is about to cause us pain, or by someone who does not have our best interests at heart, or even by someone who has a loose relationship with reality? But this comfort, spoken first to God's people and resounding to us, come from one who knows us and our circumstances far better than we know them ourselves. It is God who says to us, do not be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. You are not alone in your circumstances, and as lonely as you may feel, in the crowd or with your loved ones, you are not alone. You are not alone with your private fears and struggles. To you, God says, do not be afraid. I am with you. Sight unseen, apparent silence, debilitating fears, loss, illnesses, financial crisis, when the present circumstances contradict the future we hope for, when we cannot see how the future that we imagine can emerge from the appalling circumstances we now fear. Into the competing realities, God speaks the word of assurance. I am with you. One of the challenges in ancient times was the belief that the deity was localized in one place and not another. It was a belief that God may be found only in the temple. This belief led to disenchantment when the people watched the temple destroyed and when some of them were removed from the land that they loved. They believed that where God's presence resided, that there could be no defeat. The prophets dispelled that notion in preaching that God is with God's people wherever that people may be. God is not confined by a space or time. God can be and is everywhere. The nature of the comfort in Isaiah 41 would be that the people were away from the temple and given the reassurance that God is with them. I do not in any way downplay the fear that we experience when we feel God to be distant or even oblivious. The message today is a tough one for any of us navigating through the fear of God being distant or slow to respond. But we too have the assurance that whether we are here together in this space or alone at home, God is with us. The comfort is also about the relationship we have with God. I am with you. I am your deity. I have committed to you, to your well-being, to your care. We are in relationship. I will help you. At the risk of TMI, too much information, let me say this. I like romantic songs. The ones the singer promised the world, move heaven and earth for you, give you the world, you know what I mean. Give you my last breath. We know, or we should know, that the human beloved does not have the capacity to give the world or to move heaven and earth. But in a moment, we are comforted and hold on to what is possible. I will be there for you. Beautiful indeed. And when the commitment works, it is beautiful. Likewise, in a world where BFF, you know, best friends forever, last a few weeks or months, or until they befriend you from Facebook. To know that there is a lasting commitment is indeed a comfort. The one who says, do not be afraid, is able to be there and will always be present. I wish that I could say that the comfort means that the circumstances that is causing fear will disappear or that human tendency to feel afraid will evaporate. I wish that I could say that. The comfort is not that. Rather, the comfort is that in the midst of fear, God is there to help, to uphold, and in some cases, to help us to endure. So hear the word of God to us today. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. Do not be dismayed, because I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Thank you.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.